Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Mr. Tim Lovegrove, BJU Dorm Supervisor. The title of his message is Making Sense of the Daily Grind. The text is from John 15, verses 1 through 11.
John chapter 15, in your Bibles this morning, this is a familiar text that I hope will be especially meaningful to you in this summer school time. There are spiritual highs that everybody has. For a lot of students, spiritual highs come in the summer with mission teams or summer camps. There are a lot of other things that are spiritual highs, like leading someone to the Lord, or for some people getting to preach or teach or whatever. Everybody has spiritual highs. Summer school is not one of them, right? Seems like there's nothing more mundane and non-spiritual than going to summer school for 5 hours a day and then going home and studying all night. Or maybe your schedule is go to summer school for 5 hours and then go work till night and study literally all night. It's hard to feel very spiritual in times like this, isn't it? You ever feel like this is kind of a parenthesis in your spiritual life? You just want to get it over with so you can get on with growing and walking with God or whatever else. Our text today, I think, is going to show us that there's really a lot going on spiritually, even in summer school. As a matter of fact, the point I want you to see today is that you need to pay attention because God's working on you. Yeah, even in summer school. Pay attention because God's working on you. I could call this making sense out of the daily grind. And I think John 15 is going to help us see what's going on, even in times like this. So look at John 15 with me. Let's read quickly the first 11 verses. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Pay attention, because God's working on you. Now, how does John 15 show us that? Well, first of all, we've got to think about this concept of fruit bearing for just a minute. In John 15, Jesus draws this analogy between Christian living and a grapevine. He says, I'm like the vine, my Father's like the farmer, the husbandman, and you're like the branches. And the real simple and obvious point is, hey, Christian, you've got to bear fruit. That's the point of Jesus' analogy. Now, what does it mean to bear fruit? Well, I don't think that's as hard as we make it sometimes, or as narrow as we make it. Galatians 5 tells us what the fruits of the Spirit are. What happens when the Spirit is in control of a person is certain fruits come out in that person's life. Those are actions and attitudes that please God. Actions and attitudes that God desires in any given situation. And I think we can define fruit bearing that way. I think that bearing fruit is simply having the actions and attitudes that God wants you to have in any given situation. Now, that's really important because you might be thinking, how can I possibly be a fruit-bearing Christian in summer school? But if we're understanding fruit-bearing right, you've got all kinds of fruit-bearing opportunities here during summer school, don't you? Because if we're understanding fruit-bearing correctly, then fighting temptation is fruit-bearing. Then speaking kindly at the dinner table is fruit-bearing. then keeping your mind on pure things when people you're working with aren't is fruit-bearing. Then helping out a sibling when you know you've got way too much homework to do is fruit-bearing. And how about this? Even keeping your mind focused and studying hard is fruit-bearing. So summer school is a time when your days are filled with fruit-bearing opportunities, just like the whole rest of your life. God has things He desires from you in every situation. And if you do those things, you're a fruit-bearing Christian. All right, now, in John 15, I want to show you five characteristics of fruit-bearing. And it's those five things that are going to make it clear that we've got to pay attention because God's working on us. I hope some of you are going to write these five things down. Number one, fruit-bearing is intentionally impossible. Fruit-bearing is intentionally impossible. Verse 4, Jesus said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And the end of verse 5 says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I think it's very important for you as Christians to realize that God calls you to do more than you can do. Especially if you are someone who's had the opportunity to grow up in a Christian environment, look out. You may not realize that God is calling you to do more than you can do. C.S. Lewis said, if you have a sound upbringing, you're likely to be quite satisfied with your character as it is. A certain level of good conduct comes fairly easy to you. You are quite likely to believe that all this niceness is your own doing. If you are a nice person, beware. How about that? If you're a good kid, look out. Why? Well, the real question isn't, are you a good kid? The real question is, are you having the actions and attitudes that God desires in any given situation? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Are you fruit-bearing in God's eyes? That's the question, not, do you have a good upbringing and niceness comes not easily for you? How are we doing that in everything give thanks? How are we doing that? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. How about let not the sun go down upon your wrath? How about redeeming the time for the days are evil? How about be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another? How about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying? How do you measure up to that list of God's standards for the actions and attitudes He desires out of us? Now, if you think, wow, if I really had to actually do all those things, like only say things that edify, like always give thanks, like always redeem the time and buy it up, boy, I'm in trouble. But you do have to do those things, right? God said so. But if you're thinking, wow, that's a lot to do. I don't think I can do that. Then you've got it. You see, we're not all really good kids, right? We're all really sinful people who struggle to do what God desires from us. But the point is that fruit-bearing is not only impossible, it's intentionally impossible. It's intentionally impossible because God designed it that way. He made it so it's impossible for you to consistently, on your own, have the actions and attitudes that He desires from you in any given situation. All right, so that's point one. It's intentionally impossible. Why did God design it that way? Point two, fruit-bearing demands constant dependence. That's why God designed it that way. Remember those words in verses 4 and 5? Abide in me, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. We know two things. We know we have to be a fruit-bearing Christian, and we know that we can't do it. So where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us pretty dependent on the only source of the help we need. Remember that God told Paul that strength is made perfect in weakness. Power is perfected in weakness. You see, when you finally figure out that God desires all kinds of things from you, even in summer school, and that you really can't do that, then you're ready to go to God and get the help that you need. We have to bear fruit. We can't do it. God's the only source of everything we need. Now, you're familiar with this idea. This is just the concept of dependence. But look at what John 15 clarifies for us about dependence. Verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. And look at the second half of verse 16. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, those are prayer promises we quote all the time, right? You can go down here to Crossway and get yourself a little book of wonderful prayer promises, and it'll probably have those two verses in it. Okay? But why are those prayer promises in John 15? Why are they right here in the middle of this section on fruit bearing? Well, fruit bearing is intentionally impossible. It demands constant dependence. And here's what John 15 clarifies about dependence. Dependence isn't plugging along and hoping God will help. Dependence isn't knowing that God can help. Dependence is asking for help. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Dependence means asking. I know that you guys all know that God can help you. But that's not dependence. It's not dependence until you're asking God for help. If you're struggling with any of those things that I just mentioned in those verses earlier, asking for help is the kind of dependence you need to do. The idea of fruit bearing is intentionally designed to demand that you be coming to God, asking for help all the time. Now, if this isn't clicking with you yet, then you're really missing something. Okay? Because are there actions and attitudes God wants out of you the rest of today? Are you going to be God-pleasing in all of those things? You better be asking for help. That's what dependence is. All right, now when this happens, we face a situation where there's actions and attitudes that God requires. We ask for God's grace, His divine enablement to help us obey. God gives us that grace that we need. We bear fruit by doing what God desires. Then, point three, fruit bearing results in much glory to God. It's intentionally impossible. It demands constant dependence, and it results in much glory to God. Verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." You're told all the time to do what glorifies God, but here tells you what glorifies God. It's fruit bearing. It's actions and attitudes that God desires out of you. Now, how does fruit bearing glorify God? Well, one way is when you focus on what God desires in any situation, when you focus on that, what you're saying is, "God, you're right. God, you know how I ought to run my life. God, you're the one who knows what's going on, and I'm going to live life your way." And that glorifies God when you let Him be in charge instead of yourself. Another way that fruit bearing glorifies God is because it's impossible. You see, if fruit bearing is impossible and you actually do the actions and attitudes that please God, who did that? You? You see, the fact that it's impossible guards the glory of God. If you actually have the actions and attitudes you're supposed to have, God gets the glory because He did it. He's the one that gave you the grace to do that. Charles Spurgeon said this, "One thing is past question, we shall bring our Lord the most glory if we get from Him great grace." If we get great grace because our needs for obedience are great, God gets great glory. You know, when you think about your devotional life today, do you cringe because you know there are some great needs there? Some of you here probably haven't touched your Bible in a week. When you think about your prayer life today, do you cringe because you know there are some great needs there? Some of you may not have prayed for more than 2 minutes in the last month. When you think about how you're reacting to the people around you at home or at school or at work, do you cringe because you know there are some great needs there? Do you realize that when you see great needs, that is an opportunity for you to get great grace from God? And when you get great grace from God, He gets great glory from your life. So if you're in a position today where you feel very painfully aware of your needs, that's great. Go to God and get grace. And He'll get great glory from your life. All right. It's intentionally impossible, demands constant dependence, brings great glory to God. Now, for point four, we got to ask this question. Isn't it miserable to be that dependent on somebody? What if I told you that you were going to have to, every morning to get to summer school, hitchhike here? You're going to have to find somebody on the street that would drive you here. When you got here, you're going to have to find someone every day to borrow paper from so you could take notes. You're going to have to find someone to borrow a pencil and pen from. You're going to have to find someone or several people willing to share part of their lunch with you so that you could have lunch. You're going to have to find someone to give you a ride back home. You're going to have to find someone, go door to door in your neighborhood and find somebody that will give you some food so that you have something to eat for dinner. What kind of a day would that be? But that's exactly what we're saying it's like spiritually. Isn't that miserable to have to be that dependent on God for everything? Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be, what's the next word? Full. You want real joy? Then you better be really dependent. You see, this isn't like waiting in line at a soup kitchen to get some government rations. Admittedly, having to wait on the government all day, every day for what you need would be pretty miserable. But who are you depending on? The government? You're depending on the God of the universe. Is that a bad deal or a good deal? To have to be totally dependent on the one who is perfect love and perfect power and perfect wisdom, that's not too bad of a deal, is it? So, there are a lot of Christians that are miserable because they're totally dependent on themselves. They would find great joy if they just give up and start depending on God. They'd start asking for help. You see, some of you in this room are grumpy Christians. And you're grumpy Christians because you're going to do it all yourself. Your life's all about you and what you can do, and your spirituality is all about you and what you can do. And you don't have a lick of a prayer life because you're totally dependent on yourself. And you know what? That's why you're grumpy. You want to find real joy, full joy, then you've got to learn to be dependent on God. All right, point five, and this is where the rubber really meets the road. Fruit bearing brings frequent trials. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Okay, that makes sense. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. He prunes it that it might bring forth more fruit. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, and in our backyard, we had three big peach trees. And every spring, my dad would go out. My dad was very meticulous. He had these little hand clippers that he did all our bushes and everything with. None of those big electric things. My dad would go out to those peach trees, and he would take his little hand clippers, and he would clip off all those little scraggly green growths on those peach trees. Now, why did Dad do that? That hurt the tree. It really did. You could see the sap come oozing out like the tree was bleeding when Dad cut all those things off. You don't normally chop things off trees to make them more healthy, right? But see, if Dad left those little green scraggly growths on that tree, those things would steal the nutrition from the rest of the tree, and those peach trees wouldn't produce nearly as much fruit. Now, in your life, too, God prunes. Okay, and you've got to get this. Pruning means that you make a tree, you make it temporarily more difficult for the tree to bear fruit. It's got to get more sap out to those branches to heal up that wound that was caused. But in the end, that tree's stronger because it's drawing more from the roots and it produces more fruit. And God does that in your life. He does things in your life that make it temporarily more difficult for you to bear fruit. And what He wants from you is more dependence. And when you depend on Him more and get more grace to bear fruit, you end up being a stronger Christian. All right, let me give you an example. You come and sit down in summer school and you find out that you're going to be next to someone for 2 hours a day for a month or whatever, that who is really, really annoying. They test your kindness and your patience and your love and your servanthood. Now, are you just a really unlucky person? You're not. God is pruning. You know what He's doing? He's showing you that you need help to be kind and loving and patient and a servant. You need Him more than you thought you did. And what He wants from you is dependence. Or you go home and find out that one of the neighbor kids hit a deep home run right through your car window. And God is testing your patience and your ability to forgive and love and be kind. What's the point? You're really unlucky? No, the point is God's showing you maybe you're not such a nice kid as you thought you were. You need Him more than you thought you did. And He wants to bring you to a place of dependence. So is anything going on spiritually in summer school? Is this just a parenthesis in your spiritual life? Well, is anything frustrating you? Is anything worrying you? Is anything causing fear? Is anything angering you? Is anything discouraging you? Is anything leading you to laziness or impatience? If any of that stuff's going on in your life, God is letting you know you need Him. You need Him more than you thought you did. You need to come in dependence. And dependence means what? It means asking. Let me say it this way. God is regularly making you need Him more to make you depend on Him more. You see how that works? How does God get Christians to depend on Him more? How does He lead you to further dependence? He does that by showing you your weaknesses. He does that by putting you in situations that expose to yourself how much you need Him. And then you're left having to depend on Him more. So all day long in every event of life, there are certain actions and attitudes God desires from you. If you do those things, it's fruit bearing. You get up in the morning, there are things God desires. You're in the car on the way to school, there are things God desires. You're sitting in class, there are things God desires. At lunch, break, at work, studying, at the dinner table, with your friends, whatever, there are things God desires in every one of those situations. They're fruit-bearing opportunities, and God demands that you bear fruit. And in some or many of those, you're going to be tempted to blow it. And when you're tempted to blow it, God is showing you that you need Him more than you thought you did. What do? Well, you depend on Him by asking for help. You come to God and you ask for help to obey. And then you go do it. And you see yourself say kind things or react right ways or study hard or other things that aren't normal for you. Studying hard isn't normal for some of you. And you find yourself doing those things because God is helping. Because God is giving grace, divine enablement to help you obey. And that fruit bearing brings glory to God. And you find real joy, the only kind of real joy there is. And then what happens next? God brings something else into your life where you're tempted to blow it. And He shows you that you need Him more. Now, is that happening in your life right now during summer school? Any of those things? You bet. Every one of you. God is trying to bring you to greater dependence, greater fruit bearing, greater glory to Him, greater joy, and then He's going to do it again. So pay attention. God is working on you. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us to learn that You're at work, that You're trying to show us how much we need You, that we need Your grace. Lord, help us to learn that dependence means asking. Pray that You'd help each one of these here today to go ask for Your help the rest of today. Seek Your help to be a fruit-bearing believer. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Mr. Tim Lovegrove, BJU dorm supervisor. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.